broadcasting live from the ESPN 690 and Adhijar and Levine Studios.
This is Action Sports Jax on ESPN 690 with Brent Martineau and Austin Lane.
Well, I think the biggest thing that the division has dictated how they think they're going to stop the Chiefs. All these teams within the division have two elite pass rushers on the edge.
Right.
So I think their mindset is we're going to rush four, we're going to keep Patrick in the pocket, and then we're going to cover as well as we can. That blueprint was kind of laid out in the Super Bowl when they played the Bucs.
Yeah.
So if I'm playing the Chiefs and I got these two edge rushers, I'm going to let those guys go, try to get them in third down and long, and then play as good a coverage as I can.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new, like, retired player.
Yeah.
Who have they hired? Give me a position just for fun. It's not a quarterback. It didn't sound like a quarterback to me.
Mm-hmm. Linebacker.
Linebacker.
You got this.
Is Kuechly doing stuff?
You better believe it.
Really? Who's Kuechly doing stuff for?
ESPN. News to me as well. But it says Luke Kuechly, comma, ESPN NFL analyst. So, you know, that can only mean one thing.
It's always a great dynamic. I used to get pissed off at this, really, that all these guys would go into, like, the booth and stuff. And my mindset would be, or, like, do what we do. My mindset, like, back in the day when I was coming up in the business was, oh, what the heck, man? I really want to do this. Like, I went to school to do this. And these guys are walking off a playing field and just do it, whether they're good at it, not good at it, train for it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel that way anymore, but I did at one time, if I'm being honest.
It's a safe space, Brent. You can be honest.
Yeah, so... But it is pretty amazing to – now, this dynamic is somewhat amazing to me, is how many guys want to do it.
True.
Like, I feel like do you think players like the media or don't like the media?
I would say I think they understand that there's a job to be done. But I don't necessarily think they like. I think like is a tough term. But I think at the end of the day, they understand that there's a job that you're doing or whoever's doing. So I think they understand it. Not going to say they like it.
Okay. So I don't know if you're right, by the way. I think we hear about the people that don't like it and that really... And I understand it's a little bit semantics, like or not like, blah, blah, blah. But... I do think most of these guys get it, right? And they understand it. They understand the engine that it is. I mean, listen, there are times even that I'm, like, in the media and I'm like, is this really, like, are we really that important as we think people? And then there are other times where I'm like, you know what? The media kind of can really help or not help or whatever. So, like, it can be very powerful. I think we've seen that recently with politics and other things outside of sports. So, like, it always has been a thing, and I think it kind of always will be a thing to some degree. But I think you're right. I think there are a lot of people in sports that now understand the engine that it is and that how it works. And you don't always have to love it, and probably you don't always love it, but more people probably like it than we think. But then we think of the folks that don't and have had run-ins or have problems with it. I'll give you the latest because I read this today. Richard Sherman. Would you say he likes the media or doesn't like the media?
Once again, I think Richard Sherman's smart enough to understand what has to be done, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's a fan.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't either. Like, I would say Richard Sherman probably obviously had his big moment there in Andrews, but which really helped, like, he should get it because he understands, like, it helped his brand and profile more than anything he's done on the football field.
Yep.
Is like that moment. So I think he does understand it. Yet I kind of feel like it. I'm not sure he loves it on a whole. Like, I would say he'd be more toward a negative side. That'd be my read on him. I don't know Richard Sherman. Yet he's going to be, like, probably in the booth or part of Amazon's coverage on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, that's the word out, is that I guess they're recruiting him or he might be a part of it.
So they went with Sherman over McAfee, huh?
I don't know if they've made a decision. I read it somewhere today that Sherman's in the mix. Let's just say that. So, but my, I guess what I'm getting after I guess the part that might bother me a little bit is that if you played your whole career and weren't a fan of the media, and but now you're the guy that's willing to go take a check to be the media.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I love that.
How about Steve Smith? It's a good example, I would think.
Steve Smith reminds me of that example. Now, I've got to be honest to Steve Smith. I don't know what it was like to cover him day to day. He might have been great to the local media, and we just might have seen some of these other things. And Steve Smith can say, hi, how you doing, and be the nicest guy in the world, and kind of comes off kind of like he's mad at something. Right. Like, I saw Steve Smith at Trevor Lawrence's pro day, and he was fantastic. When we were asking him to, if we could get – yeah, so he was great. And so so I don't want to be unfair to him to say that, but that's my point a little bit. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Did you guys – are you the same guy that didn't like the media for so long, and now you're like willing to go take a check with very little training, by the way? Doesn't mean you have to be good at it, yet you probably demanded that while you were in the locker room, the people that were interviewing you be very good at it. And you probably said a time or two to the media, well, you've never played. Well, can't the media now say, you've never done this?
That's true.
So it's just it's an interesting phenomenon. By the way, I'm not like this isn't salty Brent at this. I would have been probably 20 years ago. I understand it. And heck, we just did it with Austin, right? I mean, but Austin wasn't a guy that didn't like the media.
True.
I always think like Maurice Jones-Drew is very interesting, and I love Mojo. But Maurice had like time, like he was really moody at times with the media.
Yeah.
And I thought it made him great. Like, I thought it was really fun to cover him. See, I like the unpredictable guys. And, I mean, to a degree.
Sure.
That's why I really enjoyed covering Jalen Ramsey, to be honest with you. But Mojo's interesting. But Mojo, I always thought would go into the media. Like, I sense like he appreciated what people did. He understood the game. He understood the give and take a little bit. This will be a fascinating one. 10 years from now, Jalen Ramsey hangs it up. Is he part of the media? And if he is... does it fit what I just said? Because he comes across like he doesn't like anybody.
Right. No,
I'll give you another one, man. Deion Sanders. Sanders did it. Sanders became the media.
He did. The one that comes to my mind is like Marshawn Lynch. He's not media yet, but you have to think that there's something there.
Yeah, and I just don't know if Marshawn was – Marshawn just stuck to who he was. Like,
right.
And kind of stood on a ground of principle. I'm not sure he ever was like – malicious toward anybody or didn't like anybody. Like, I don't know. Again, it's really hard if you don't cover these guys. I'll just say, a guy like Calais Campbell, if he ends up in the media, I could certainly see him ending up in the media.
Sure.
He was super to the media. He was always great, respectful, understood it, all those things. Like, it would be no surprise, like, if he joined the media and wanted to do this for a living and talk football and stay in the game. And by the way, I have no problem with all of them. Former athletes trying to stay in the game. It's a great vehicle to stay in the game.
Absolutely.
Yet I do, there's a part of me that wonders, like when you said Keekley's in it now, I'm like, why the hell is he in it?
Yeah, like, I do wonder
like,
that.
He doesn't seem like he wants to be, he never seemed like he wanted to be interviewed, never mind be on TV and talking about others. And, I mean, he could do anything. I get it. Like, he's probably a little bored, but, I mean, he doesn't have to do anything right now. He's made a ton of money. Go spend time with your family. I guess that's what always surprises me. I guess these guys just get more bored than I think.
Yeah, no, that's actually the same thing that I kind of come back to. Because, like, if you look at the people on ESPN right now, for the most part, obviously, but, like, J.J. Redick, just retired. Just retired. It's like, how do you want to do it this much? Like, I don't know. I understand it, like we want to do it, obviously, because it's our jobs. But, like, for them... they just lived their whole career, right? Like, take some time. So I think it's fascinating that they just quick like that. They're like, all right, I'm ready to talk hoops. It's like, take some time off.
Well,
enjoy
I do think
life.
I wonder about this part of it. Like, is J.J. Redick doing it because he's afraid in 3 or 4 years everybody will forget him, and so now his time is, like, now to grow the brand, increase the brand? I mean, branding is everything now, it seems like, right?
Yeah.
So while I'm still in, like, honestly, I heard J.J. Redick on No Laying Up podcast and didn't realize he had retired.
Like,
I thought he just got the $23 million deal from, like, Philly. Was that last year?
Yeah, it's 2 years ago.
Or was that
ago.
Like 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Like, so I didn't even realize it. And I guess he's doing a podcast now. But see, that's why. Because somebody like me who's not locked into J.J. Reddick's career is like, yeah, I remember J.J. Reddick. He signed the $23 million deal. He could really shoot, and he played for Duke.
Pretty much.
But
yeah,
5 years ago, that, like 5 years from now, that's all I'll still be able to say about him.
Also true.
Like,
yeah.
I think these guys try to showcase that they're more than that, too. They're more, like Austin, you say it a lot, right? More than an athlete.
Yeah.
And many of these guys are more than athletes.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's why they do it right away, a strike while the iron is hot. Like, is anybody coming calling for J.J. Redick or Luke Kuechly in 5 years?
I mean, other than, like, you know, the Panthers calling Luke Kuechly, probably not, would just be my guess of it. What's also interesting, like, you've got this same thing. I know it doesn't hit home as much, but, like, coaching. Like, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd. What are you doing?
Yeah, I always said that about, like, Larry Bird, right? I mean, when I was so stunned, he just didn't seem like – he wasn't a very, like, personable guy.
Right.
He didn't seem like. And so I just didn't see that as being a fit. Then he went to the front office, too, and he did well. Like, I think it's just the competitive nature of these guys, too. Like, yeah. When it comes to the coaching part – and I do get that. I get this. I get people want to give back. Like, there's a lot of former Jags coaching now at Providence, right, locally, the school, and high school ball. And I think they want to give back. I think they want to give back to the game that gave them a lot.
That's
and
fair.
It also probably helps that their kids are probably in it now, and that changes your view on things, too, and all this stuff. But I do think there's an element of the coaching aspect that, one, it probably strikes the competitive itch. It also is a new challenge, and these guys are 1% athletes, 1% thinkers, 1% competitors, and so they want a challenge.
True.
I mean, they want a challenge, and so I think that's part of it. But I do think a little bit of the coaching aspect at any level is, hey, I want to give something back to the game, to the next generation, to the next player, and so I think that's why they do it. I don't know. I guess to each his own. I mean, listen, I had lunch with somebody today. Okay. A guy, like, owned a trucking company, has a haircut place. He had never owned a haircut place. Has a restaurant. He had never owned a restaurant. Has owned a marketing company now. He's got, like, 6 kids. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a lot of things.
Like what? And some people are just wired that way, or, like, they just really want a challenge, the next challenge. And that doesn't have to be an athlete.
Right.
I just gave an example of the guy that wasn't – this guy wasn't an athlete, per se. So yeah, it's pretty fascinating anyway. I do wonder, like, I always think of that dynamic because, again, early in my career, I would have been salty toward these guys that are all getting these jobs. The other part of it is, first of all, many of them are very good.
Yeah.
Like, very good at it.
Yeah.
And
just to go back to J.J. Redick real quick, I think he's good. Like, no shot.
Good?
Yeah, no shot at him. Like, I like his take. So, like, and you know how I feel about Chris Canty. You know what I mean
yeah.
there? So, like, a lot of them are very good, to your point. Not taking a shot at a guy like J.J. Redick. I think he's good. Anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are good. Not everybody's good, but I think a lot of them are good. And if you're not good, you better have a big name. Right?
Fair.
Because
yeah.
sooner or later, you're probably going to get flushed out of the system. And I'll give you one more thing. I know we're going 15 minutes on this, but I love the chatter. I think the other part of it is there's just so many things to do now. I mean, there's so much space to fill up.
Yeah, no, that's a
you
great
know?
Point, yeah.
But what I can't imagine is, and I don't know this element, is that these guys cannot be getting paid a lot to do this stuff. Like, some of them do make pretty good money. Like, Michael Irvin now makes really good money, I'm guessing, at the NFL Network.
Yeah, he's all over, too.
But, like, these guys, like, J.J. Redick, I can't imagine is making that much money every time he's on ESPN. And when I say that much money, I mean, this is a guy who signed a one-year, $23 million contract to play for the Philadelphia 76ers, I think, or $22 million.
Yeah. No, he's chilling
so,
for sure.
Like, he doesn't need the money. So that means he's got to want to do it to the point where the paycheck doesn't matter.
True.
Like, think about that. Think about any walk of life. Who's doing that? That you really, like, don't have to work. Don't have to do anything, but you now are being told to show up at 3 o'clock at a certain time, and you're really not going to get paid near the amount you've been paid to do anything else in your life.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
it's different. I give
it's
it
a
to you.
Really – it's a wild dynamic, man. I mean, I feel like I need a 30 for 30 on, like, former athletes being in the broadcasting business.
Yeah, one thing I will, though, like, to your point that I like about it is, to your point, like, they're either really good or they're a really big name. Or, you know, sometimes both, like Tony Romo's really good and a big name. But I think in terms of, like, what I listen to, and, like, when I – so, like, when I watch the Rays, for example, their pregame, they added Xavier Scruggs, who is a guy that I don't really know much about his baseball career. Like, I know he played. I have his rookie cards with the Cardinals. But, like, I don't really know much about him, but he's pretty good. So then it opens you up to, like – knowing more about the person, if that makes sense. Like, you like them more, even though it really had nothing to do with what they did on the field.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's fair. And by the way, this has happened for a long time. It's just happening more in numbers now, that you now know people more for their broadcasting than you do for their play or coaching. I mean, John Madden, who recently passed away, like, exemplified that. You didn't even remember him for his – there's a whole generation or two that didn't remember him for his coaching or playing.
Sure, yeah.
So, I mean, that part's fascinating. So I just got a text, and this is probably true. Money doesn't meet a narcissist's needs. And point being, everybody's got an ego, man.
That is true.
And if you can still get on TV in a suit and talk about the game, people are saying, hey, what's up, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, think about it. Is Charles Barkley and Shaq, are they doing that by this point because they just love doing it, because they're making money, or because, well, I mean, they might be more popular now in Charles Barkley's case, and he was damn good, than he was when he was playing.
That's a great call, actually, because I think people like my age and younger, like, love Chuck because of what he has become on the postgame and the pregame for the NBA stuff. Like, that's why I like Chuck. Like, I understand he was good. I didn't see it. You know, Shaq, I know Shaq was good. I did see it a little bit, you know, when he was the Shaqtus out there in Phoenix, but that's not his exactly golden years. But, yeah, I think you open up a whole new fan base for people like Shaq and people like Chuck and Kenny as well, just because of they're funny on TV.
Yeah, it's a great point that you would already, your generation already thinks of Charles Barkley as the guy that's on TNT.
Yeah, no, facts.
Play.
Yeah, 100%. Very
funny. You don't feel that way about Shaq, though.
No, but, like, because, yeah, no, I don't. I don't feel that way about Shaq, but I saw Shaq, like, with my own eyes, in fairness. Like, granted, he was...
Well, Shaq played more recently than Barkley.
Yeah. So. Now, granted, it wasn't good, really. You know, he was old, playing in Phoenix. That's why I call him the Shaqtus. You know, it's like a cactus with Shaq. Anyway, that's what I... Like, I remember that about Shaq, but to be honest, like, if that's all I knew about Shaq, I'd be like, oh, he wasn't very good. He was old. But, like, Barkley, yeah, like, I don't even think about – I understand he played basketball, which helps, like, the background part of it. But the only thing I think about Chuck is, like, bad at golf, turned good, incredible success story, and just funny.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a wild thing. I mean, you got to remember the generation gap sometimes in that respect. And by the way, Charles Barkley was a very, 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 very good basketball player, but I think you're right. I think more people know him now for the show.
100%.
And just Charles being Charles, really.
Yeah.
His personality, I guess. And by the way, like, people didn't know him for that, I don't think, when he played. And, of course, we didn't live in a social media world and all that stuff, so it's a little bit different. Did you say we have Captain Rick on?
We do.
All right, let's get to him. Captain Rick, Ford Sports and Fishing Report, here on a beautiful Monday. Still the wind, though. I can feel it. That must mean the fishing probably isn't as good as I think it should be.
Well, the fishing's a lot like Chuck. It's just terrible. It's
terrible.
I got to tell you, this is what's so painful about it, is our fishing's fantastic. We know that because Thursday we had a nice calm day and we went out and everybody whacked them. There were a load of mahi caught. There were more wahoo caught than I've seen in a while. I guess back on Friday, the Jody Lynn 2 had 3 wahoo, 5 tuna, and 4 or 5 mahi. I know on my boat we had 4 mahi, 2 tunas, and a wahoo. So trolling was pretty good, but then here came the wind. And we are seeing a nor'easter. I don't remember being this cool, Brent Martineau, in the middle of May. I mean, it's gonna be downright chilly tonight, and that's gonna feel awfully weird to me. I gotta tell you, it's just not what we're used to feeling. I think the wind's gonna blow hard through tomorrow. In fact, I think it's gonna blow through the rest of the week. I don't think we're gonna see a break in it until the weekend. Now, inshore, it's throwing some muddy water inshore, and it's made it tough on the guys. I know I talked to several inshore captains today that struggled to catch redfish. The flounder bite was pretty good. Each one of the boats fishing in the Intercoastal had one, two, or three flounder among them, and a lot of them were pretty good fish, too. But the redfish and the trout were not very active in this dirtier water that the Northeaster has pushed in. Look for another windy day tomorrow. Then things moderate a little bit. I don't think the ocean will open back up until Saturday and Sunday, but we'll just have to watch it and see. We'll be back to check on it tomorrow with another fishing report brought to you by Workman's Quick Fix Plumbing and CSS Landscaping. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Captain Rick. Appreciate it. For Sports and Fishing Report, Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690 every day. Plus, fishing show on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. for a couple hours on ESPN 690. Let's take a break here on a Monday. When we come back, what I was supposed to tell you about that might make you throw up about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm glad you didn't, you know.
And then we went 20 minutes on sports broadcasting with former athletes. I loved it.
Yeah, hey, real quick, one more second on that. A person that I have, like, you have to convince me was good because I've never seen it, but I really liked listening to him talk is Shannon Sharp. It's kind of like Charles Barkley. Like, never saw him play, don't understand. Like, I think of him as, like, being funny on TV.
That's interesting. And so you think you like him on TV?
Yeah, I like his style. I do.
Okay. But like a likable, because to be honest with you, like, I think he was one of those athletes that you didn't want to root for.
Interesting. Like, see, I would have never, not knowing that until right, like, I've never heard that until right now, but I've never really talked to people about his play style. Like, I think of him now as, like, likable on TV. Like, I've got nothing against him.
And again, I don't think I've had more experiences with Sterling Sharp, but, like, because he does, like, a lot of golf celebrity stuff.
Right.
I'm just saying, from the outside looking in, like, if there was a guy, he would have been on near the top of the list of guys to root against, Shannon Sharp.
Interesting.
Yeah, he just seemed like a jerk.
But character development.
Again, that's not in terms of knowing that or coverage, just from a perception standpoint.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And I would assume because of the show that he does and the takes that he has to have, I'm sure it's still a pretty polarizing group that either likes him or doesn't.
Yeah.
That's the nature of that show.
That is true. I just think his antics are good. You know, it helps.
Yeah, I hear you. We'll be back. Action Sports Shacks on ESPN 690. Very polarizing people here, too. Brent Martineau, Casey Kurtz. We'll be right back. Action Sports Shacks OT on the way at 6 o'clock with Casey and Brian Middleton. So we've got you covered all the way until 7 tonight on ESPN 690.
I mean, we were really close off of two, and I think it spooked him and got him tight, and he was right against the wall, and I got the lead. And he's just an idiot. I mean, he does this stuff all the time. I've seen it with other guys, and I mean, he drove in there 10 mile an hour too fast. And with these next-gen cars, you know, he slammed me so hard, it knocked the whole right side off the car, and no way to make the corner. So, yeah, he's just a moron. He can't win a race, so he does it that way. So, I don't know.
Willie was upset, Brent.
Yeah, that was, who was that?
William
was
Byron.
That got bumped out? Byron. Yeah, William Byron. I like it, though.
Oh,
didn't
I
like
it.
Joey Logano, did somebody say Joey Logano was his first win in like a bunch of races? I thought he'd won recently.
No, that was his first one in a bit.
Yeah, that's a little surprising to me.
And he had to crash him. It's tough.
Did you mind that move?
Yes.
You did?
I bet on William Byron.
Oh, that's a good racing move.
Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing I struggle with in NASCAR. I don't understand why you can't wreck each other. Like, I don't. So, like, when they do and then they get mad about it, I don't really, like, understand that part of it. Like, I feel like all's kind of fair, but, you know, I don't know. Like, I hear what he's saying because, like, he slowed down to make the turn, but this dude didn't slow down at all. So, like, is he an idiot? Like, is he really just not know what he's doing? Like, that's when it comes into question because, like, everybody else is slowing down. He's not, hits the dude. Byron ended up in, like, 13th, by the way. So it was a whole disaster. Yeah, I had a problem with it. But if Byron would have done it, I'd probably be defending him, to be honest.
But I don't, like, see, I kind of feel like, to me, that was a nudge. That wasn't like, I'm going to send you flying into the wall and I hope you're okay after. Like, that was a nudge. Of course, at the speed they were going, they're not going 200 miles an hour at that, you know, that track. So, I don't know. I just felt like, and that was sport. Like, that's the sport to me. Like, at Daytona, I always think about this. Like, you can have such a good car. You can be in such a good place. You can be leading the whole way. And maybe one of the worst places to be in the last couple of laps is out front.
True. Well,
like, it can be. Now, sometimes it's really good, but it can be because somebody's just going to go wreck your ass.
Yeah.
And push you out of the way.
I do appreciate, though, like, it was either that interview or, like, a different one he did for radio that I heard. He was like, yeah, he was faster than me, so just make a move and pass me. Like, show that he pretty much...
That you can drive.
Yeah, like, make a move, and if you win that way, fair enough, but, like, you're just going to bump me out of the way is some other words that he said. But, so, like, he acknowledged that he was faster, but in terms of, like, around the track, like, he had been faster, better times on him, but he didn't appreciate how it happened, so I can understand that.
Yeah, I get it. I do get that. It's funny when I think of Logano. To me, Logano... You've got your, like, hardcore, like, racing, gritty guys. Like, grew up in the dirt, it felt like. And not to say Logano hasn't.
Right.
But Logano reminds me of someone who would be on the PGA Tour before he'd be on, like...
Get him ripped.
In NASCAR. Yeah. He just does from afar. Like, again, we've interviewed him. He's a cool guy. Like, he's really good dude. Like, I mean, my experiences with him. So, like, it's totally a bad, like, perception thing on my part, but he does feel a little bit like that. I wonder if some of the drivers feel like that to him, like if they know him better. Or wonder, like Keselowski and Kyle Busch, like those guys are like the villains in the sport. Like if they did that, it's part of their persona. Like,
yeah,
would get mad at them, and they almost embrace it. They like when people get mad at them. Logano feels a little bit different. I think he does pull some of that stuff sometimes. Yet I'm not sure if that's who he is or what. Like, he's a hard guy to read for me.
Yeah, I mean, I know that in terms of other people that I've bet on and then hear them get crashed by Joey Logano, I don't really hear many people say good things about him.
Yeah.
So there is that part of it. But, you know, my main listening to the Joey Logano slander comes from Amanda, who really does not like him at all. I can't even say some of the things she says about him. So... Maybe my mindset is a little biased on there, but I feel like he's not. I mean, people were booing when he won.
So So I mean, he's a little bit of that villain.
Yeah,
I guess
a little bit.
Hey, Jags have rookie camp coming up. I mean, who are you excited to see outside of Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd? If you could listen, rookie mini camp's a little bit. Kind of like the underwear Olympics kind of feel, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not going to see anything crazy, but should we be excited to see somebody outside of those guys? They're naturally, because they're the number one picks or in the first round pick. But I mean, let's be honest. Am I excited to go see Luke Fortner play? No.
Oh, that was my pick.
Really? Like, what do you want me to see out of him?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I kind of looked down the options and I said, you know, I wasn't super excited about any of them, so then it came back to big boy Fortner. I don't know. Like, they're not wearing pads, right? Or are they?
I doubt it.
Yeah, so then that kind of ruins the whole pancakes. I'll go with Fortner. I don't know. Just show me something. The footwork is always exciting, obviously. The left to right, the hands, you know, Fortner.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could go right down the line, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of impact in the back end of the draft. So am I excited to see this Muma kid who I've not watched a lot, but I think a lot of people like him?
Yeah.
Again, you're not going to see linebacker. I could say Snoop Connor, but like linebackers and running backs and safeties and those kind of positions in practices just don't, they're not going to do a lot for you.
Yeah.
You know, this rookie minicamp is going to be, you know?
No, I do know. I 100% know, but,
but it's cool to see guys running around on the field. Like, I'm okay with that. But
yeah, you know, other people running is always fun to watch. So,
yes, it's always fun to watch.
As long as it's not me, right? So, just when you're out there, make sure you bring me back some Luke Fortner tape to look at. Please.
All right. I like that. Did you see Nick Chubb squatted like 675 pounds?
I didn't, but I believe it. You know, the dude's got some incredible legs. It's not a good sense. Yeah.
That's good. What I'd love to know from somebody who really knows, like, weightlifting,
mm-hmm.
All right? And everybody thinks they know weightlifting, but I'm talking, like, really knows weightlifting.
Yeah.
Do you get to a point where it doesn't matter? Like, if I tried to squat 675 pounds, my knees, legs would snap.
Yeah, you would just turn into mush.
Like, yeah, so, like, what's the... Well, first of all, it wouldn't move anyway, but
true.
Like, is that helping him in his training, or is it just like, hey, I want to hit a milestone, or is he risking injury trying something like that?
Yeah, best guess would be milestone, because that kind of seems like the thing in weightlifting. Like, I remember way back in the day when I used to be forced to do that kind of thing. It was always about, like, personal best and all that. Like, we used to write them down on, like, a board and stuff. So I would assume that's probably part of it, because in reality, like, once you get over, like, 500 pounds, doesn't it all feel the same?
Like, I would think, like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just feel like when I see people lifting that kind of weight, I feel like they're going to get hurt.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like,
and so I just don't understand why you would put yourself in that position, especially as a running back, to do that. Like, I believe there's more risk in you maybe getting hurt than help benefiting you get stronger.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like, if I'm a coach, I feel like I'm saying that to you. Like, can we not do that? Like,
you've proven your point. We get it.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, when we were in college, coach wouldn't let us play basketball.
Okay.
In season.
Sure.
You're going to turn your ankle and get hurt. Like, yeah. It's stupid. Yeah, sure. It might be good conditioning. Sure, you'd be competitive, whatever. But you're going to get hurt. Like, I would think watching Nick Chubb do that, like, Stefanski calls him up and is like, why?
Literally. Yeah, no, I would agree.
Why?
It's literally your whole offense, too. Well, now you got Deshaun. But when it was Baker, it was your whole offense. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it. Here's what else I don't get and I don't like. But this isn't as actually a bad a stat as I thought it was, because I thought it was going to be worse.
Is this the throw-up stat?
This is the throw-up stat. Fewest receiving touchdowns caught by wide receivers in 2021. The Jaguars, amazingly, are tied for fourth on the list for fewest receiving touchdowns.
So there's three teams worse?
Like, who caught touchdowns for the Jags? What did Marvin have, like five?
Yeah, something like that, five or four.
And DJ probably had one or two before he got hurt.
He definitely had one.
Did Agnew have? I think he finally got in. I think Agnew finally got in one there.
So
who caught the one in the back of the end zone that the awesome play by Trevor against Indianapolis?
Marvin, wasn't it?
That was Marvin.
Pretty sure.
I think it was. Yeah.
Agnew had one, by the way. Okay. Marvin had four. Didn't Arnold score a couple times?
That's not a receiver.
Oh shoot. He didn't, anyway.
Not receiving touchdowns, caught by a receiver.
Oh. Yeah, that's
but
all we got.
This guy had none. Okay, DJ had to
Who
have
else played? Oh, Treadwell had to have scored.
Oh, I think he had one or two. And I swear DJ had one against Houston. And then he ended up getting hurt like week three, so he probably had one or two.
He definitely had the one against Arizona.
DJ did?
Yeah. Treadwell had one.
Okay.
This is so bad.
Well, and so that's the point. Now, the Giants had five. The Browns had seven, which is crazy. The Browns had seven. They have Landry, and they had Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah. They also had Baker Mayfield, but anyway.
But they run the ball a lot, too. The Broncos had eight with that receiving core.
Yikes. Well, I mean, we're going to have to blame the quarterback a little bit, right, or no?
I get it, but can you blame for everything? I mean, Chicago had nine, and they have just Allen Robinson, who ended up not having a good year.
And Mooney.
The Falcons had nine. And, yeah, Mooney. And the Falcons, obviously, they didn't have Ridley. Jones was gone. And yep. they put it in the hands of Pitts a bit more.
And
but
Cordell
the Jaguars
Patterson.
Had nine. What I'd like to do, and I haven't seen it, is, like, who's the leaders? Like, where do the Jaguars need to – how many receiving touchdowns from Jags receivers need to happen this year? Like, don't you almost think – like, Christian Kirk has to have nine himself?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, I don't know. I don't want to put that on
five
him.
I mean, five at minimum.
I would say five at a minimum, right?
Yeah. No, I would. Five at minimum, and then Marvin needs to also, you know, four last year, four at minimum. That's nine, and we're up to the nine we had. Which, by the way, you said it was nine?
That's what I've been told. I mean, that's what this tweet says, CBS tweet
so,
that I saw.
We had DJ with two. I'm looking at it. By the way, he only had seven catches. Two of them went for touchdowns. Marvin had four. Agnew had one. Treadwell had one. Who are we missing?
Agnew won one, four, two. LaVisca had none.
Right.
Did we have somebody jump in there like late? Did somebody else come along receiver-wise? I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Who else played for the team? Oh. Did he score? Yeah, Taven Austin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So nine touchdowns from receivers last year. Let's do it. Let's predict it. What do we need to see happen? Like, I'm thinking this year, Kirk for 7.
I agree with that. That's the number I was thinking.
Marvin, 5?
Yeah, I can go with 5.
LaVisca, 5?
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm going to say 5 would be, like, probably ideal for where you drafted him and where you think he can be. Yeah, what? Okay, I'll go with 4. I was going to say 3.
What about Zay Jones?
At 3.
I mean, $7, $8 million a year guy?
How I mean, about 4? He only had 1 last year.
Is that it?
Yeah. So I can get on board with 4, but I think 3. If he scores 3, I'll be like, hey, all right. Zay Jones.
I'll give miscellaneous 2, like the Agnews of the world and them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if I did that right, we just talked this out loud, and we said 7, 5, 4, 3, 2. So that would be 12, 16, 19, 21.
It's better.
Better? Be unbelievable.
Well, yeah, no, I agree.
That'd be unbelievable.
It would be good.
Because we're not even counting Evan Engram or Dan Arnold.
That's
true.
We're
not counting that a running back got one out of the backfield like an ETN.
That is true. Then we could get up to like 25 maybe. Now we're talking crazy.
Well, or like where we should be.
Well, that's crazy for here, you know. We are in Jacksonville.
As an NFL offense.
Normal is crazy around these parts, Brent.
Because then I would say like you got maybe a handful for the tight ends and maybe 3 for the backs. And that gets you to 29 touchdowns.
See, now you're going crazy. Now you really are.
No, that's like 29 touchdowns fine.
I understand it's fine, but Jags. You know?
I would like to see Trevor between 28 and 32 scores at a minimum and no more than 12 picks this year.
I mean, I think we'd all like to see that. Is it likely?
I don't know. I don't know how likely that is, but I would think it's reasonable. It's still a decent amount of mistakes on the picks. And you're talking 2.5-to-1 ratio. I can't imagine that's too bad. I don't know what the metrics say should be the case. And I'm also not throwing in 35 touchdowns, you know?
Right.
I mean, once you start getting to 35 touchdowns, you're having a pretty good year.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
No, but Blake Bortles did throw 35 touchdowns in his second season. Everybody will say it's garbage time. He also threw 18 picks. Like, I don't need that from – I'd rather have 30 and 12 than 35 and 18.
Agreed. Less turnovers. Like, literally, Aaron was in here today, and we were talking about it. And he was like, how would you gauge it if it was a successful season? I said, don't turn it over.
Yeah.
Like that's
and get turnovers.
Well, that's true.
Because they didn't do that very well either. All right, we take a break. We are live at Fleming Island Golf Club. Don't forget Dream 18 card, Action Sports Shacks, Dream18.com. Later this week, we will tell you what date the golf tournament will be once the Jags schedule comes out. So we're getting ready to unveil that. That will be at the golf club at Southampton. Right now, we're at Fleming Island Golf Club on a beautiful Monday in Jacksonville. In Northeast Florida. Thanks for hanging with us on ESPN 690.
That's the reason why he's here. That's the reason why we brought him. Since he's gotten here, he's been adjusting based on what we need from him, whether it's playmaking and tonight, you know, just going and getting the bucket, especially based on, you know, that we're guarding everybody else and making tough shots. He's been doing that his whole career, that's why he's here. So, you know, he's only 2-2. We got a lot of work to do, but I'm excited about, you know, what we can accomplish.
Joel Embiid, and it looks like the Sixers have come back from the dead to make that a series.
They have, thanks to him.
So now we've got, we got some good series, right? I mean, the Bucks-Celtics seem to get the next one. What's interesting is the Grizzlies and Warriors, and it looks like Ja won't play, right?
No, he won't.
He definitely won't play. But here's the crazy thing is, they're, 20-5 without him this year?
Yeah.
Like, they can't beat the Warriors without Ja Morant, can they?
I would say probably not. I think the Warriors are too good, especially in playoff time. But, you know, they do have that track record from the regular season. We'll just have to see if that translates over because it is different, but we'll have to see if they can make it the same.
Action Sports Shacks OT coming up. Probably more hoop talk on the way with Casey and Brian Middleton till 7 o'clock. Brent Martineau here at Fleming Island Golf Club. It is kind of funny. these, well, that was a gentleman behind us, too, but there's, I don't think they realized that their swings are probably live on camera the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
On Facebook, YouTube, which I had to tell them about that, but they were very nice and fun about it. I think they kind of, they can go back and watch their swings now.
They could.
If they want to.
Might have to. I mean, get the breakdown.
Beautiful day. Gosh, I'm glad I came out here now. This was like a late act. This was an autumn to come out to Fleming Island Golf Club. But tomorrow probably at the Shrimp. Wednesday, we usually at Davoli's House of Cards. Doesn't look like we'll be there on Wednesday. Instead, we're going to probably go to UNF Softball Complex because the Ospreys play at 3 in the A-Sun Softball Tournament that they are hosting. And then on Thursday, I'll probably be – I might be at another golf course like Eagle Landing out here, but might have a big game out there at Oak Leaf High School in the Martineau household. So probably going to be on the road. And then Friday, still debating as well. We'll see where some of the local baseball and softball might take us, maybe do a show from there, or could be down even at Golf Club at Southampton to announce when our Dream 18 will be. So still fluid situation, Casey, so hang with us. You're pushing all the right buttons.
Hey, man, I'm just hanging on. All I know is you're going to miss out on the wine cooler Cokes. That's all I know.
Just don't get it taken out of there by next week, hopefully when I'll be back in. It is funny, you know, we were just saying about Ja Morant, though. I think not many times do stats, like, really lie.
True.
But don't you get the sense that stat lies?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you probably have to go back and look at, like, who did they play versus who actually, like, did someone they were playing, if they were supposed to be playing a good team, did they get a load management day for their best player? So, yeah, I mean, there's always more to do in that stat. Obviously, they did have a couple of wins in that stretch that were against good teams. But, yeah, I think that's a stat that might be a little overblown.
I will say this now. If they win without Ja Morant and then he can come back.
Yeah.
It might change. This is a pivotal game for a lot of reasons. The Warriors could go up 3-1 and really slam it shut with an unhealthy Morant, even if he plays again.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's over, in my estimation. But if they win, it could infuse some doubt into Golden State, infuse an energy into Memphis. I mean, to win without Ja Morant at this stage and how well he's really played. You know, he's been such a key part of it for the first three games. So it'll be a fascinating watch. You guys will talk a little bit more about that. And we've got Action Sports Shacks OT on the way, coming up with Casey Kurtz and Brian Middleton. It was a beautiful Monday. Thanks for hanging out with us on ESPN 690. I say let's do it again tomorrow at 3 o'clock from the baseball grounds, and the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp will open. And right across the street, the Icemen will play Game 3 against the Everblades. So we'll have a lot more local sports coming up tomorrow for 3 hours. I'll see you on TV tonight, 6:50, live from Fleming Island High School on Fox 30. And then later tonight, 10:50 and 11:20, Fox 30 and CBS 47 for all your highlights of the night. We'll be featuring some girls flag football regional finals, Fleming Island and Middleburg, both in action. Good luck to them. Action Sports Shacks OT on the way next. Thanks for the good folks here at Fleming Island Golf Club for having us out. Top of the tee, if you haven't checked it out behind me, you got to do it. Bring the family. Come on out to Fleming Island. You'll have a blast. We'll be right back on ESPN 690.